Hello, who called in?
Hi, this is Cindy Cartledge with Jermaine Dunnigan and Owens.
Okay. We'll let the city clerk know.
Thank you.
Does this work? The lady called in. Yeah. Yeah. Someone, I didn't really hear it because I can't really hear. Somebody called in. Resolution 10.3.
Yeah.
Resolution 19.010. Okay. Move it all the way, unless it passes on the consent agenda.
That's true.
It could. How many do we got to get out of here?
I don't know. But if not, maybe you get special orders.
We can do it.
The rest of it.
I need scrap paper. Can I use my scrap paper now?
Can we go get you a pad?
No, I can just use the scrap paper. I'll just use this. We're good. Hi, Dave. All right.
Dave, you want me to put your name down for people to be heard?
You want your name on the people to be heard list? Do you want your name on the list?
Yes, please. Okay.
All right. All right.
Nope.
Hold up. It's just the thought that counts.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. We'll call the August 13th, 2019 City Council meeting to order. Pledge allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Ford.
Here.
Councilmember Barr.
Here.
Councilmember Albertson.
Present.
Councilmember Jim Jordan.
Here.
Vice Mayor Williams.
Here. We have a quorum.
For the record, we're expecting Councilmember Charles shortly, and Mayor Watson is traveling on behalf of the city this week.
Okay, people to be heard. At this time, we have one person to be heard. Mr. Trantham? Mr. Trantham's up. Okay.
Wait for me. Good evening.
Good evening, Dave. Could you please state your name and spell it for the record?
My name is David E. Trantham, Jr., T-R-A-N. T-H-A-M. Good evening, members of the council. Thank you for serving this community. I have two things. And Mr. Mayor, when I get to four, let me know.
Will do, Mr.
Loud
Trantham.
And clear, please.
Will do.
Thank you. First of all, 74 years tomorrow, was VJ Day, ending World War II. Tomorrow, there may or may not be a little celebration at the club. It's uncertain at this time. to honor 1,435 men from the Yukon-Kuskokwim area that defended the territory of Alaska in this area during wartime. I hope none of you ever forget that. They were a defense force to protect their families in this part of Alaska. And they did a great job. As you know, the Japanese invaded the territory of Alaska in 1942 and occupied two islands in the down on the Aleutian chain. And they were there for a year until the Army mobilized and took them out. The only place on U.S. soil that the Japanese occupied during World War II. That's part of history. I hope everyone will remember what the Alaska Territorial Guard did during wartime to protect their families and all Americans and all future generations. With that being said, one more thing. I brought with me a hard copy of the audit that I took from the council packet and added it in my little book. And a couple of comments about that audit, since it's now a public document, I feel comfortable in speaking about it. I'm wondering many things, what the ramifications of this audit will be, especially considering the last two audits came in qualified as this one does. I'm wondering what the consequence of three consecutive qualified audits will be on the taxpayers of this community. I hope you heard, each of you heard what I said.
Dave, it's been 5 minutes.
Dave.
It's been 5 minutes, Dave.
Pardon?
It's been 5 minutes.
May I please summarize?
Okay, please summarize.
In summary, I expect from council members three things. One is transparency. Two, accountability. And number three, to be responsible stewards of all funds. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Trantham.
My apologies for exceeding my time.
That was my fault. I didn't remind you at 1 minute.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there anybody else to be heard at this time? Ms. Natalie, come up to the microphone. Please state your name and spell your last name for the record.
Hello, my name is Mary Nanua, Kamir, Y-N-E-N-U-W-A-K. It seemed like the city, anywhere from getting better, is getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And the way, like, people attack one another, and, you know, like, things can be discussed without having to put someone down or belittling them or demeaning what they're doing, because I know for a fact that Leif Albertson here, he has a full-time job at the hospital. He works at the radio station, the Kuskokwim College, plus the church, and on top of that, he's volunteering with the city gardening and all the other stuff. And he really knows what's going on in Bethel. He does not need to go by hearsay of what's going on. Whereas a lot of city administration and the city council, I mean, like, honest to God, sometimes it's laughably funny. Other times it's very, very cryably, sadly funny. I mean, if, like, one council member who deemed to be intelligent and smart and has held a lot of similar jobs elsewhere, but then for that person, in one single meeting, to ask for a definition of something that was defined or an issue that was at least explained 5 times, sometimes more, within one meeting. Don't you think there's something wrong with that? I think so. A lot of people think so. And look at here. Where are the people from the public? All people ever ask is, are you going to the meeting, Mary? I said, it depends on how I feel and whether or not I can make it down. And then you ask these people who nothing physically wrong with them, why don't you go to a meeting and go on people to be heard rather than just griping and complaining? And it's just, I don't know, like when I take a cab for my appointment, the cab won't be there, and like there are times I just cannot walk fast enough to get out. As I'm pushing the outside door, the cab will drive away, and then I call and I have to wait. And if it's the cab driver who was there to have picked me up, and then, like, he'll scold me. I mean, like, what the heck is going on with services that are supposed to be serving the public to the best of everyone's ability? And that's what people, they make a vow when they get elected or when they're running, I will help the client to the best of my ability. But that's not what's been happening. Sure, it's only a few people, but those who can even count 5 in your one hand. And then the cab driver, rather than like taking us to our appointment, especially if you're disabled, they'll be picking up somebody who's going to the liquor store, and then they'll go all the way down across the slough, pick another drunk person who needs to go to the liquor store. By the time we get to our appointment, we're late, and then we have to be reappointed. And you can't tell me for me to go to certain people. You, like, I know you're part of the Costco cab, And, you know, like, people who have anything to do with people should be correcting these people. And when these people are reported for maltreating people, something should be done.
Well, Mary, you're at 5 minutes now. Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Well, I got lots more to say, but
I understand. Okay.
Everything out and be heard.
I understand. Anybody else to be heard at this time?
No person on the phone.
Okay. All right. Nobody else to be heard. We'll move on to item 5, approval of the consent agenda and regular agenda. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Councilmember Forbes, as the maker of the motion, you have first debate on the motion.
I'd like to remove new business items 10.1 and 10.2 from the consent agenda.
Okay. Mr. Albertson, as the second, you have second debate.
Sorry, just a question. Do we have somebody on the phone?
Brian with Altman Rogers.
Okay.
Hi, and there's Cindy Cartledge, our representing attorney, and for the 10.3 item, the resolution on the bond.
Okay. So Altman Rogers is already under special order of business.
Any other changes to the agenda that anybody would like to see at this time? I will remove 10.3 off the consent agenda and ask that resolution 1910 be moved up under special order of business 8.2.
You need a motion?
Yeah, it needs to be amended.
Make a motion. 10.3 you're talking about. Move that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I would make a motion to move agenda item 10.3 up under special order of business, where it would be 8.2.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded.
Can I make a motion to move 10.2 under special order of business also?
Do you want to make that amendment to the amendment? Okay, that's an amendment to the amendment. So it'd be 8.3?
Yes.
Is there a second? Not seeing a second, it dies. Back to the main motion. Okay. Councilmember Albertson, you have first debate.
Since we have someone on the phone, I think it would be respectful of their time if we could talk about that sooner rather than later.
Okay. Councilmember Forbes, the second of the debate.
Nothing further, thank you.
Okay. And as the requester, I was the same issue. Let's make it heard. Quickly. Any other debate concerning moving item or resolution 1910 under our agenda would be 10.3 under special order of business 8.2. Not seeing any other debate. All those in favor of the amendment to the motion to move item resolution 1910 under special order of business 8.2. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those not in favor, say nay. The ayes have it, 5-0. Okay. Anything else? Not seeing any other debate. All those in favor of the amended agenda and approval of the consent agenda, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All those not in favor say nay. The ayes have it 5-0. Moving on, we're under minutes were approved under the consent agenda for July 23rd, 2019 regular meeting, and also August 5th, 2019 for a special meeting. Standing committee reports. Council Member Barr, do you have a committee standing committee report?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Vice Mayor Williams. From the Finance Committee, our next meeting is on August 26th at 6:30 p.m. We are pleased to report that we do have two new members, Gary Fredericks and Mary Beth Whalen, that will be joining the Finance Committee. And we are tackling a number of things that have been brought to us by the Finance Director. And one of them is to change the budget deadlines to match more closely with state deadlines. That is just one of the things that we're working on. We're also working on a number of other things to help the Finance Director out with her role as the Finance Director for the city. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Barr. Mr. Albertson, Community Action Grants.
Yes, we haven't had any meetings since the last report, so I have nothing to report other than to say that the Community Action Grant is an opportunity for individuals or organizations to do projects that support the city's health, welfare, well-being, that sort of thing. So I just would encourage folks to look into that and apply. I think it's a good program. We funded some good stuff, and we're still there. So talk to the clerk if that sounds good to you. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Ms. Jung Jordan.
Thank you. The Public Works Committee hasn't had a meeting since the last time. The next meeting is scheduled for next Wednesday, the 21st.
Okay. Mr. Forbes, Parks and Rec.
Thank you. The Parks, Recreation, Aquatic Health and Safety Center Committee met last night here in Council's Chamber. We discussed a number of things. But perhaps the most important thing that we discussed as we narrowed down the four name options for the new sports field, which I believe will be on the kids' vote ballot. So we chose four choices there. So the children of Bethel will be choosing the name for the new sports field come October. So we're super excited for that. Among other things, we are continuing to talk about the Land and Water Conservation Grant, which is a great funding opportunity for the city. I believe that this year's cycle, I believe, opens next month in September. And so the committee has been very excited and is looking forward to working with administration, the grants manager, to identify some projects that would benefit the city as the grant allows for in-kind match, which is super great. We can use city, you know, resources other than money to meet our match for the grant. So we're looking at some different projects for that. We also talked with the fitness center, the swimming pool facility director, about some of the metrics that the committee is hoping to see and measure from the facility, as well as set some goals for those metrics. And we're also, I believe, we're going to be extending an invitation to the finance director to come chat with us either next month or in October to talk about the endowment fund. But I believe the Public Works Admin Assistant will be chatting with you to set that up. So we're super excited to keep talking about the longevity of the Fitness Center's endowment fund. Obviously, the committee wants to see that grow and be sustained for years to come. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Forbes. Planning Commission met on August, I think it was the 9th, and I didn't get the minutes from that meeting, and I didn't participate, August 8th, and I didn't take part in that meeting, so I don't know what happened. All I know is one of the local business owners were upset that they didn't hear an issue that they thought they needed to be heard by the Planning Commission concerning their easement issues for their business. So when I have information from the Planning Commission, I'll report on that issue with more understanding. Okay. Mr. Charles is not here, and the mayor, Fred Watson, are not here, so their committees have been left. Okay, moving on. Special order of business, financial year 2018 audit report from Altman Rogers and Company. Okay.
All right, you ready for me?
We're ready for you.
All right, so my name is Brian Kublik. I'm the audit partner with Altman Rogers. I wanted to thank you guys for giving me a chance to speak before you today. I do a kind of an informal presentation, so if there's questions as I'm talking, feel free to just holler out and get my attention and ask your question while it's fresh on your mind. Just real briefly, we bring out four people for a span of 2 weeks. During that time, we do internal control testing over the various control systems of the organization, so cash disbursements, cash receipts, billing. Every material transaction is part of our control testing. Well, we looked for the year under audit, we looked at every transaction that was greater than $30,000 with our materiality threshold for an individual line item. Within that system testing, if we go through and do all that, and if we don't find any errors within those systems, what that lets us do is reduce the amount of substantive audit work that we have to perform. So the goal for us is always to test those systems, and hopefully we don't find errors, and then we can rely on the controls of the organization. In addition to the test work that we do, we also go through and do, we go down the balance sheet of the organization, each of its funds, where we tie out the assets and liabilities to some form of supporting documentation. So the easy example would be like for a financial institution. So those are just some of the procedures that we are doing as part of the audit. So if there's any questions on a specific procedure that we might do or something we might do over a specific account balance, feel free to holler at me and let me know. And I can answer those. But if you want to jump into the audit report itself, and don't panic, I'm not going to go through this page by page. I just want to hit some of the highlights and this is the part of the financial statements that are the responsibility of the auditor. The rest of the report really is the responsibility of management and the city. But this opinion is what's called an unmodified opinion, which essentially it's the best type of opinion that an auditor is allowed to give. And essentially what it means is that the following financial statements are materially correct, in my opinion, as page one are telling you. I've given my opinion over the following financial statements. So that's not necessarily the results of the audit, which is what people generally care about more. So if you want to flip to close to the back of the audit,
it's part of the city council packet under special orders of business, so they can follow along under that section on your computer.
Okay, great.
Okay. Sorry, I just wanted to let the public know.
Oh, no, yeah, that's great. So if you turn to page 100 of the financial statements, of the audit financial statements, this starts 100 and then 102. As part of this audit, we also do an audit over compliance with federal programs. So you actually get two opinions, and this page on 102 starts our opinion over related to reporting over your major federal program, but otherwise, other than that late reporting finding, we didn't have any other findings that we found over. Is that you look and you start on page 105. This gives a kind of a summary of the audit. So 105 and then bleeding on to 106. This starts the section where we actually discuss the audit findings over both the financial statements and the audit findings over federal compliance. So the I'm at the top of page 106 of the audited financial statements. This was an internal control finding over the harbor billing. We had attempted to do test work over the harbor billing system. Our objective was we were going to test a sample of 40. Hopefully we wouldn't have found any errors in that sample. During our first few transactions, we did see that there were errors. There was missing supporting documentation. Some of the rates were calculated incorrectly, or it was difficult to tell how rates were calculated. There just wasn't adequate supporting documentation. So we had to essentially abandon our test work. This finding here at the top of page 106. The second finding relates to the P cards. There appears to be a lack of internal controls over the P cards of the city. We couldn't get a good control list of how many cards were issued and outstanding. Of the support that we looked at for some of the cards, there was of the cards we pulled, they were missing support for some of the transactions that was on them. So we had to essentially abandon our is a material weakness. Then our last financial statement finding was over material journal entries, and this one relates to lack of documentation over the sample that we looked at. There were three correcting journal entries that we couldn't get adequate supporting documentation to say who had reviewed the transaction, who had reviewed it. And so we had to issue a finding for that. The only other finding in the report has to do with the federal compliance. Federal compliance requires, the uniform guidance requires that the audited financial deadline was missed. So by missing that deadline, you're automatically not in compliance with that federal uniform guidance requirement. And then that's what this finding is basically talking about, is how that specific deadline was missed. So those were the audit findings that we had this year. It was quite a bit cleaning up some of the things and the issues that you'd had. I think in prior years we'd had, you know, upwards of 8-9 findings, and this year they've been dramatically increased. So I'm hopeful that things are moving in a better direction, and that's kind of my whirlwind tour of
Brian. I'm sorry I didn't get your last name. Forgive me for that.
It's Kupilik, K-U-P-I-L-I-K.
Kupilik, okay. Mr. Kupilik, you said there was one of your findings, 2018-003. You said that there was one material findings that you could not find that was $807,000. Do you know what that was for and why that was purchased?
You know, I doubt it was a purchase. I don't know off the top of my head. I could these are going to be everything from reconciling entries to adjustments that are made. I don't believe it was like a cash type transaction. It was going to be adjusting journal entries to work papers and dig a little bit to see what exactly the transaction was for, or what accounts it was hitting.
Okay.
That I don't necessarily know off the top of my head. But no, it's not anything that we think, it's not a cash transaction, because that would have been really easy to get support for.
Okay. Mr. Forbes?
And this is probably a question more for the finance director, but I was wondering if the finance director could speak to what our plans are now for the next audit. Says Mr. Trantham did speak to, you know, this is not the first year that we've had a late audit, but I would like to think that Mr. Kuklick is probably crediting a lot of the work to our new finance director in terms of things being cleaned up and turned around. So I was wondering, Christine, if you could speak to us a bit about what's happening, if we're going to be in a better position to have an audit done on time.
So, come to the, do we suspend the rules to hear from the public?
Oh, I guess I would move to suspend the rules to hear from the finance director.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
So we'll move to second to hear from the finance director. Any debate? Seeing no debate, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Come up to the microphone, please state your name and speak into the mic for the public to hear.
My name is Christine Blake. So to answer your question, the on-site audit work was already done when I got here. It was mostly my involvement was just providing additional documentation that they had been requesting. But moving forward, there have actually been some better processes put in place as far as trying to get the monthly statements done. Keeping up with that is a big part of why we've had problems in the past in getting our financials ready for the audit. There are, as you know, a number of findings that have to be resolved as well. We do have a new staff, or a lot of new staff people. Right now there's, I think I've counted 4 or 5 out of 8. We've only have been with the department only, 4 months or less. So we do have quite a few challenges, but we're trying to balance keeping up with the journal entries and the monthly statements, in addition to addressing the issues in the audit finding and other things that I've noticed myself, just as on day-to-day stuff. So the plan as far as getting this audit complete is, in my view, the most realistic goal for me is the 9-month deadline set by the federal and state, the federal government and the state of Alaska. And so I feel confident that we can make that deadline. I did some research, and over the last 12 years, we have met the 150 days deadline twice. And as the, Brian mentioned, we've had anywhere from, 3 to 4 to 8 findings. And that number of findings slows everything down. It's more work for the auditors. It's more work for us, and time is spent on those rather than being able to work like a well-oiled machine. We're kind of running around trying to fix little things. Right now we have a plan for getting the work done in time for the auditors to arrive mid-November. And we will be working hard to answer their questions promptly and get them the documentation that they need very promptly. That really helps. I know that drug out this last audit quite a bit is non-response to their request for documentation. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So since you're still here, what does it mean that we are not a low-risk auditor financially? Go ahead.
So you're looking at the bottom of page 105.
Yes.
Auditee qualified as a low. Determine whether you are or are not. That guideline is set by the federal government, What it means when you are not a low-risk oddity is the auditors are required to look at a larger percentage of your federal programs as major programs during the audit. So if you're a low, if you're a high-risk oddity, we are only required to look at 20% of the total of your federal programs expended during the fiscal year. And what makes an entity low or high risk depends on whether there were prior year findings. Because this year's audit didn't meet the reporting deadline.
I'll ask my next question since nobody has their hand up. So, Mr. Kiplick, under our Bethel Municipal Code, under 4.04.090, this audit needs to be done within 150 days of July 1st. How can we get that to follow Bethel Municipal Code?
It comes to scheduling of the audit, so. The audit process for us, we need about 6 weeks from the end of field work to write the financials, work with management to get the draft into shape, and then those are the steps, and then Bethel from on site. The end of the field work really is when we get our last piece of information that we need to support the audit. So you just back that up 6 weeks and then that's going to be a tall order, especially with the previous with the staff turnover, or, you know, IRAs. Christine was saying with all the new people in there for this year.
So is it from our end that's slowing up the audit, or is it from Altman Rogers that don't have the time to do it until November?
No, we schedule the audit 6 months in advance. We'll pick whatever day for fieldwork you want if you give us enough notice. Our schedule's full now, but we could. I mean, if management is ready, having us come out before you're ready will not speed anything up. Because if the accounts aren't adjusted and the support's not there when we're on site, then essentially it's ready for us to be audited. So then we have to do the audit again weeks later when we're back in the office, when we don't have allotted scheduled time to work on the engagement, and we can only audit things as they come in piecemeal. So. It always works best if you just let management pick a day of when they're going to be ready. For me to say when you're going to be ready, it's for management to determine. Yeah, we're ready to be audited, and I'll take you know the city's word for it. If they say, hey, yeah, we're ready, I'm comfortable scheduling it.
Go ahead, Mr. Forbes.
Councilmember Rivar, I believe that's what you were touching on in your committee report, is that the Finance Committee is looking at some recommendations to change that timeline in municipal code, correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Okay, going to page 51 of the audit, what's capital layout and why is that $1.1 million over expenditure?
51, we are in the general fund.
Right.
Schedule of revenues. You're looking at a specific line item?
Yeah, it's capital layout. Outlay, I'm sorry, capital outlay.
I'm not going to be able to answer specific line item questions. Those are really questions for management.
Okay. All right. Any other questions for the auditor? Any other questions for the finance director? Not seeing any other questions concerning the 2018 audit. Okay, moving on. Thank you, Mr. Kippel. Have a good evening. Moving on to resolution 1910. Is there a motion on the floor? Okay. Is there a second? Second. So we moved and seconded to adopt resolution 1910, a resolution of the City of Bethel, Alaska, authorizing the issuance of utility revenue bond of the city in the principal amount not to exceed $8,250,000 to finance the Avenues Water and Wastewater Utilities Project, creating a lien on the net revenue of the city's water and sewer wastewater utility systems for a payment of the bond, approving for the date, terms, and covenances of the bond, authorizing the sale of the bond to First National Bank of Alaska and pursuant to the terms and conditions provided within this resolution and related matters. Ms. Junk Jordan, as the maker of the motion, you have first debate.
I'd like to defer to the acting city manager, Howell.
Okay. Mr. Howell.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, or Vice Mayor, and Council Member Jordan. I believe we have Cynthia Cartledge on the phone, who represents us with our legal firm, and she can speak to this matter much more knowledgeably than I can. So if she's available. Cynthia, you there?
I am.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Howell. Mr. Vice Mayor, as well as members of the provide a bit of context with regards to this resolution. As Mr. Howell mentioned, it relates to the financing of what is commonly referred to as the Avenues Project, the Water and Sewer Project. As most of you are aware, the city and the USDA is to provide, subject to the terms of the letter of conditions which was entered into by the city, is to provide the city with a grant in the amount of $5,021,000. Entered into between the city and USDA. Now, as I mentioned, this grant is dependent upon compliance with the letter of conditions that was signed by the city has to secure interim financing, short-term financing to finance cost of the project. The resolution before you is a means to satisfy this interim financing requirement put on the city by U.S. of the utility revenue bonds in a principal amount not to exceed $8,250,000. As mentioned, the bond is being issued for purposes of financing the cost in the form of a drawdown instrument, meaning that the aggregate or the not to exceed amount is $8,250,000, but the city is only going to draw what it needs as it incurs costs. So if the city incurs $250,000, that will submit a requisition certificate. $250,000 to pay the cost for the invoices that have come to the city. Interest only accrues on the advances or those draws on the bond. So if you have $250,000 being interest on that $250,000, that keeps the interest cost down for the city. The term of this bond, as I mentioned, this is the interim financing, so it's short-term financing. The term of the bond will not exceed 4 years. It may be shorter, but it will not exceed a special and limited obligation of the city, simply secured by those amounts which are deposited in the utility enterprise fund. It is not a general obligation of the city. Will be purchased by First National Bank Alaska. The interest rate associated with the bond will be set on the date of closing, which, again, subject to the council's approval, is scheduled for August 29th. The interest rate that they believe it will be, but again, this will be set on the day of closing, so unless something odd happens with the market, it's going to be about 3.78%. The bond is subject to prepayment at any time. And we can satisfy all the letters of condition. We will tell USDA, we will provide them with the documentation they need. We will get the long-term lending from USDA, take out the short-term lending. Just as you did with regards to the last water and wastewater project, which closed in 2018. The resolution also authorizes the mayor, the city manager, the finance director, the city clerk, and city attorney to do whatever is necessary. That the council may have with regards to the resolution or the financing generally.
Any questions by the council? We have no questions at this time.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other debate concerning this resolution 1910.
Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead, Mr. City Manager.
Thank you. I just wanted to remind the council that, just to kind of summarize some of my understanding and the information shared here, is that this money here allows us to get the Avenues Water Project done. There's also, so it's $8 million in a loan that'll eventually transfer over the USDA. There's also a nice little $5 million grant that's attached to this that's money for the city to buy water trucks and to do this Avenues Water Project. We've been advised that kind of due to some of the federal budget cuts that have been seeing, that we won't be seeing this level of grant funding in the future. So I think it's a really important project. I think we've moved it quite a ways down the road here in good faith with the council and the administration, and we're really excited to get this project started. And there's also a huge savings in our over our hauled water costs. I believe it's $1 million a year. $1.6 million a year the city will save in this area, providing water through the pipes and the sewer takeaway through the pipes, as opposed to the trucks. So I really don't So it's all up and it's all good, and I'm excited about the project, and I thank you for supporting it tonight.
Any other questions concerning resolution 1910? So I have a question to the administration. How is this going to lower the cost for other people within the community? This is helping one part of the community. How is it helping Larson or Kasiley or the part of that area?
I think that one of the, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think that, you know, to say that there isn't necessarily going to be a cost savings per se on our hauled system. Those fees and charges will remain what they're currently legislated to be. I expect and I hope that just with the reduced pressure on our hauled system, that we will be able to provide and continue to improve our service on the hauled system with fewer trucks providing the service into the avenues. So that's basically the improvement we get to that hauled system. I mean, but there is a substantial savings to the people on realize that, and I think the goal across the community is to eventually get more and more of Bethel into that. Additionally, we have the opportunity to get some large commercial subscribers, like AC and the Longhouse and the ABCP and the Nicholson's Complex, perhaps Family Clinic, onto this system. And those users tend to use more water, so you get the economies of scale. I can't give you a number right now, Mayor Williams, but there certainly is reduced cost for some and a greater economy of scale just in general. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
So the administration doesn't see a cost increase on the avenues projects for water and sewer to offset the cost of putting them on piped water and sewer.
I didn't understand the question, Vice Mayor.
So you're looking at no increase cost to the water and sewer patrons once they get on the pipe system once it's developed. You're not looking to offset the cost of the system as a whole.
I believe that that's a council issue. I think that the administration could be directed to research that, to find ways to do that. But I think this council's, at least former council, have spoken pretty clearly on what they wanted the direction of that water and sewer system to go and what those costs would be going forward. I'm also aware that there is increases that are built in the system to keep us in compliance with USDA requirements for this water system. So there's some structural issues there with regards to costs that I think the city is kind of hemmed into following at the moment. But, I mean, if it's a desire of this body, we would have that discussion with you and we would explore those options. I don't think there's any reluctance here on the part of administration to explore cost savings on the system, if there's any to be had. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Any other debate concerning resolution 1910? Okay. Yes, go ahead.
I was just looking at the letter of conditions that the city entered into with USDA, and as part of the one of the conditions is an increase in the user fees.
Can you give us a page number, please, ma'am?
This isn't included in the resolution. This was a document that was submitted to the council. And what it says is, I can read you what it says. Prior to project closeout, a rate increase which results in an increase of monthly user rates to a level no less than $177 a month for water and $55.75 a month for sewer will be required.
And only the avenues users?
It doesn't say the avenues users per se, so I don't know whether or not it's for all users or simply the avenues. I don't know.
Okay. Okay. Any other Vice questions? Mayor? Go ahead, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do have kind of, I do have a research task that came to my office about reporting to the council about what the current increase is going to be reflecting in the community, and it wouldn't be hard for me to research this a little further and get you some more information on my next manager's report. Thank you.
Good. All right. Any other debate? Seeing no other debate on resolution 1910, I just closed it out. Forgive me. A resolution, waiting for it to upload. Resolution of the City of Bethel, Alaska, authorizing the issuance of a utility revenue bond of the city in the principal amount not to exceed $8,250,000 to finance the avenue's water and sewer utility project, creating a lien on the net revenue of the City of Bethel's water wastewater utility system for the payment of the bond, providing for the date, terms, and covenances of the bond, and authorizing the sale of the bond to First National Bank Alaska pursuant to the terms and the conditions provided in this resolution and related material. All those in favor of resolution 1910, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those not in favor say nay. The ayes have it, 5-0. Moving on. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to unfinished business. Public hearing is open concerning ordinance 1915. Is there anybody here to discuss ordinance 1915? An ordinance by the Bethel City Council submitting to the qualified voters of the City of Bethel on October 1st, 2019, a ballot proposal initiative through alcohol local option petition. Okay, Ms. Donnellock, come forward to be heard. Please state your name and spell it for the record.
Mary Nanuwak, M-A-R-Y-N-A-N-U-W-A-K. You all probably know that there are a number of people, individuals within Bethel who work for different helping agencies who are getting petition signatures to vote to close the liquor stores. So when that succeeds, how is the City of Bethel, what are the City of Bethel's plan on making money to run the city? And as I understand, the option to whether or not to have the alcohol opened or closed, whatever, is supposed to be on the annual election, on the annual elections. And we all know that alcohol is a big factor in all of the problems that Bethel and the region experiences. I don't think I need to say what these problems are. Thinking and believing as public servants, you already know. Because, you know, like, and a lot of you work for the hospital as well, or have a say-so in what goes on in the hospital. Even the alcohol treatment that's done at a hospital, I think it's not a good program. It's just, to me, it's just getting the already addicted persons to alcohol become addicted to something else. Have you ever thought of that? Has anyone ever thought of that? So, Fiona.
Thank you, Ms. Nano. Okay, anybody else to be heard under people to be heard concerning ordinance 1915? Seeing no other people to be heard at this time, we'll close public hearing. Is there a motion to adopt ordinance 1915?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded to adopt ordinance 1915 by Mr. Forbes and seconded by Mr. Council Member Albertson. Mr. Forbes, you have first debate.
I just wanted to quickly say on this, reminding folks that this was done through a petition. The gatherers of the petition got the minimum number of signatures requiring 35% of the number of votes cast at the city's last regular election. So in this case, was at least 418. They got that, and so by municipal code, we are required to place this on the ballot. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Albertson, as the second of the motion, you have second debate.
I don't have anything to add to that.
Is there a motion to amend this ordinance to add the terminology that, what's the terminology that needs to be added?
So there's a required amendment to add in the felony question that when I originally presented this to council, it did not include, but as legally required to be presented there. So we would need to make a motion to amend to add that question.
So moved.
Thank you.
Is there a second?
A second.
Thank you, Councilmember Forbes, the maker of the amendment to add that if a person is caught selling alcohol to a minor, it wouldn't be a felony, it would be a misdemeanor under Bethel Municipal Code.
I'll just quickly add that this is a state requirement from Alaska Statutes Title IV that basically will be amending the ballot question to ask the voters of Bethel, and I'll read the question text. Says, shall the city of Bethel opt not to apply a Class C felony to violations of Alaska Statutes 4.16.051, furnishing or delivery of alcoholic beverages to persons under the age of 21, and people get to vote yes or no on that, but we're required to add it. Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Albertson, you have second debate.
Nothing else to add on that.
Okay. Any other debate concerning the amendment? I just want to make sure that we're clear for the people that have the right to vote on this issue and have that covered, and I appreciate the people that have caught that issue so we don't have any problems in the future. Any other debate concerning ordinance 1915, an ordinance by the Bethel City Council submitting to the qualified voters of the City of Bethel on October 1st, 2019, a ballot proposal initiative through the alcohol local option petition, and also the changes concerning the criminal charges for providing alcohol to a minor. Seeing no other debate, roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Forbes.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Williams.
Yes.
Councilmember Barr.
Yes.
Councilmember Jung-Jordan.
Yes.
Councilmember Robertson.
Yes.
It passes 5-0. Moving on. Like the wheels in the sky.
Mr. Vice Mayor.
Yeah.
I believe we just voted on the amendment to the main motion.
Okay.
He is correct.
He is correct. Okay. Main amendment passed. Okay. Moving on to the main motion as amended to add that language. Roll, any other debate concerning?
No, thank you.
The adoption of the ordinance. Okay. Not seeing any other. Roll call vote, please, on the main motion.
Councilmember Barr.
Yes.
Councilmember Robertson.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Williams.
Yes.
Councilmember Forrest.
Yes.
Councilmember Jungdorf.
Yes.
Okay. Moving onward. Moving on to Ordinance 19-16, Marijuana Local Option.
Mr. Mayor?
Is there... Yes.
Move to introduce Ordinance 19-16.
Public hearing.
Sorry.
Can we have just to hear public hearing just a little bit? It's okay. I made mistakes myself. Okay. Anybody to be heard on Ordinance 19-16? Ms. Nettle, please come to the podium. Please state your name and spell it for the record.
Mary Nanuwak. You've heard me every meeting I come to making statements about the ill effects of alcohol and other drugs, of which marijuana is one. And these two items, they cost money to obtain, and when you're in a region or in a village that's very limited money-wise, and people are stealing from their own parents, from their own children, to obtain these items. What do you think is doing that to the children? What do you think is that's doing to other elder people who already have medical conditions and no heat in their homes and no good water to drink? And then, like, when they go into medical emergencies, oftentimes they're not able to come at the same day. They have to, like, wait how many days, and people are being criticized for making decisions about, should I spend my money on this and not that? I mean, rather than criticizing these people, you should be applauding them, because they are making the best and wisest decisions when it regards to problems that alcohol and drugs cause. And then I forgot to mention in the alcohol one, the last meeting I came to, it was decided that people be limited to, is it two bottles or three? And no one mentioned that. What proofage are these containers have already? Have you considered that? Because, like, if it's like vodka and like whatever the alcoholic contents are, that can be a lot. Because people pass out, people do stupid things when they pass out. And then let's start listening, let's start reading, let's start putting two and two together and do something, okay? Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anybody else to be public to be heard concerning, well. Okay. Anybody else to be heard, public to be heard concerning Ordinance 1916? Okay. Now, Mr. Forbes.
Now, I'll move to adopt Ordinance 1916.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. And just to let the record show, we closed public testimony because there was nobody else, just to put that on the record. Okay. Councilmember Forbes, as the maker of the adoption motion on 1916, an ordinance by the City Council, the city submitting to the qualified voters of the City of Bethel on August 1st, 2019, a ballot proposal initiative through the marijuana local option petition. It's your floor, sir.
Once again, this is another ballot question that was brought forward by petition. So this one has a different threshold. This one, state law requires 25% of the votes cast at the last regular election. So in this case, it was 299 signatures. The petition sponsors gathered that, and so we are required by Alaska state law to place this on our ballot. So we'll be putting it on the October 1 ballot to allow the people of Bethel to decide on this issue. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Albertson, as a second, you have second debate.
Nope, nothing to add.
Okay. Any other council member wanting to debate Ordinance 1916? Seeing no other council member, we'll take a brief at ease. Take a brief at ease. Our city clerk is helping one of our audience members, so she'll have to do a roll call vote. So, brief at ease.